Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Dr. Lawyer, idiot chief. For my life with songs of grief, with the yellow fear and fearless eyes. Temper all the times, the times I've tried.
Two Dudes Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude and a judge.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
I almost forgot the judge part again.
I know, don't do that. Somebody was worried. They thought you'd gotten demoted or lost your job or something.
It's been defrocked.
Yeah, been defrocked. Excommunicated.
Defrocked.
Defrosted.
Could be defrosted today. It's cold out there.
Golly, I'll say. Man, it did. I had took the day after Thanksgiving to go out and put all my outside decorations up, inflatables all over the yard and everything. And this weather killed them. Some of them, it blew them over, and other ones, the snow sunk them down. So I just gave up. And this morning before I went to work, I just unplugged them all. Let them lay there in flat death.
You didn't prepare them all for the impending snowstorm that was coming?
No, you can't do that. They just are what they are.
So the inflatables don't do well with snow?
No, they don't do well at all. Certain kinds. Now, if it was just regular snow, like a dry, powdery snow, they'd do all right because it would just fall down around them. But because it was raining first and then the temperature dropped, that kind of turned to ice and put a coating of ice on them. And then the snow that came down was a real icy snow, and so it weighed them down from there.
Ah, so it was a wet snow.
Yeah, wet, icy one.
I wouldn't know. I've not been outside today. I got up and worked from home all day and haven't left the house. So, So it's like kind of a standard pandemic work day for me.
Speaking of an icy one, you know how you catch a polar bear, don't you?
No.
Well, you go and you cut a hole in the ice and you put peas around the hole. And then when the polar bear comes to take a pee, you kick him in the ice hole.
That's, I've never heard that one before.
That's a common way that you trap polar bears. That's how you catch them.
How long have you been telling that polar bear joke for?
Well, let's see. How old am I? When was I in first grade?
Might be time to retire that one. I'm just saying.
Well, I appreciate you playing along with me anyway.
Well, you're welcome. I had never heard it before.
Oh, I thought you had, by the way, your reaction.
No, I've never heard that before.
But you knew it was old, huh?
I just had a gut feeling that one might be a little bit long in the tooth.
Just like me.
So we were talking about the pandemic, as we do almost every single episode these days.
Yes.
And I thought it might be kind of interesting for us to talk about, because it looks like there might be a vaccine maybe right around the corner. And I know you took part of a trial recently, and
yes,
you may have already received your vaccine or just a shot of sugar water.
Well, salt water.
Salt water?
Yeah. They don't even give you the good stuff. Yeah, so, if I'm guessing, I got a placebo, because Mary was sick for a couple of days afterwards.
Yeah.
And then got better. Now, in addition, we went up the first week and Mary and I got it. And then Sydney and Justin and Riley all signed up and they went up this past weekend and they got it. And all three of them have had some kind of side effects from it since they got it. Like, you know, just a general feeling of nausea or a flu type feeling or something, a real low grade fever for a couple of days. And then just cleared up.
A general sense of malaise.
Yeah, of malaise. Of unwell-being.
The placebo, is it just salt water or does it have anything else in it? I mean, because I was kind of curious, like how, like if they are injecting something into you, if it's not the vaccine, then what is it?
It's saline. That's what they said.
It's just saline. And
in the literature that you read, you may get saline or you may get the vaccination. Hmm. So I'm believing I got saline. Everybody else seems to be like they're going to have the real thing and be immune.
Well, if you didn't get it and you just got the placebo, does that make you feel salty?
Yeah, I'll say. I feel very salty.
But with the possibility of a vaccine right around the corner and people doing these test subjects and things like that. And by the way, I hope you did get the vaccine because that'd be killer.
I know. I want to get it because you got to go back and get a follow-up in 3 weeks. And then a week after that, you should be ready to fight it off. I mean, like somebody could serve me a bowl of COVID and I could eat it and be all right.
A steaming bowl of COVID.
Yeah, I'm going to eat it just because I can.
I feel like we've all been served a steaming bowl of COVID the past few months.
It's been a steaming bowl of something.
So we were talking about the vaccine. So the thought came up, well, if there is a vaccine, can your employer force you to get the vaccine?
Can I just say that it's a completely just foreign idea to me that people wouldn't line up and say, I want it as quick as I can.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just to me, I mean, when we saw people volunteering for the human trials, I thought, you know, those people are pretty brave. I'd go do that if it was around here, but they never do it around here. So when they did do it around here, then yeah, I jumped at the chance to go do it. And if it, even if I wasn't involved in it, as soon as they okayed it, I would go out and get it. Yeah. Now, I know there's political things involved, and if it was being rushed and the politicians were the ones making the decisions and it could benefit somebody in an election if it came out ahead of the election, then I'd have my questions.
Yeah. Well, the thing we can most relate this to is like basically whether or not an employer can force you to get a flu shot now, because that's something that's been around for a while, the flu shot.
Right.
Whereas this vaccine is going to be something a little bit different. Now, it's not uncommon to force vaccines on school children and things like that, because that's just the way it always is in all the states. Now, there are some exceptions for that, but for the most part, kids have to get vaccinated at an early age before they're allowed to go into the general population of schools.
Well, they should, to protect them from all the childhood illnesses.
Yeah, that's right. So the answer to the question is whether or not your employer can force you to get a flu shot or a vaccine. The answer to that question is probably yes.
Good.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode.
We've
answered the question.
So go get your flu shot if your employer tells you to. Otherwise, you're going to go to jail.
Well, we need
no,
to
you get fired.
We need to expand on that a little bit, probably. I think that's probably
yeah.
a smart thing.
Yeah, we got to have 30 full minutes of drivel. We can't just give them 10 minutes of drivel.
It's going to be mindless drivel, Tommy.
Mindless drivel.
Now, most states have what's called employment at will, and we've discussed that before. What that means is that your employer can fire you for no reason whatsoever.
Just because he doesn't like your looks.
Well, I don't know about that. That would actually be a reason. But yeah, they can fire you for no reason.
They just can't say that's what it's for.
Right.
That guy gives me the willies. I'm getting rid of him.
Some states have a few exceptions, but most states mean that you can be fired for any reason as long as it isn't discriminatory or illegal. So whether or not the flu shot or vaccine requiring you to do that, does that make that discriminatory or illegal? So a lot of jobs have different kinds of requirements for them. And one in particular where this is very applicable is the healthcare field. Now, it's not uncommon for hospitals or doctor's offices in this day and age to have requirements in place to protect their patients from undue risks. Employers' goals are pretty clear. They want to protect their patients against catching viruses from infected workers and to keep their workers healthy while caring for infected patients. Many health, government, patient, and doctor groups promote mandatory flu shots. So that's not a very uncommon thing. If you are a high-risk person and you're going to be around sick people, it makes sense that you should have the flu shot and also so you don't get other people sick.
Right. Now, I would think that healthcare workers, in a way, that would put them under workers' compensation if they were got an illness at work from the people that they serve.
Well, it could be, but then you get run into the trouble of kind of like contact tracing. So you do miss some time from work. Well, where did you catch it? It's hard to say. Maybe you caught it at the grocery store or you were going through the fresh fruit section, squeezing some melons or something.
You get in trouble for that, too, if you squeeze the wrong melons.
That's true. So it's not really uncommon for the healthcare industry to have these. But what is a bit more uncommon is employers that aren't in the healthcare industry, they don't necessarily mandate flu shots. Like, you know, law firms. They don't require me to get a flu shot. It's not some sort of requirement of my employment.
Right.
Probably not something at Trinidad either, is it?
No, I don't require them to. I suggest they should, but I don't require them to because it's not like a, if it was a plague vaccine, because the plague is spreading, then I would expect my people to go get it as soon as they could.
Right. And that's where we kind of get into something a little bit more different dealing with COVID because it is a pandemic and something that's a bit more pressing. But, most employers don't have policies that just to basically keep employee productivity up and keep them from getting sick or anything like that. So they do generally try to encourage people to have it. They might give them paid time off while they go get a flu shot during the day or something along those lines. Or some other sort of incentive if you want to go ahead and get your flu shot. That's kind of maybe a common thing that you might see in the workplace. But outside the realm of healthcare, you don't really see mandatory policies like that. But I think that what's going to happen with the pandemic going on is we're going to start seeing more and more employers requiring all of their employees to have the vaccine once it becomes available.
Well, like I say, it's hard for me to even imagine a world where there's a vaccine so we don't have to live the way we've lived for the last nearly a year. And people would say, no, I'm not going to get that. Heck no.
Yeah. One reason why you might be required to get the vaccine, if it does become available fairly soon, is that you may have some sort of employment contract. Now, if you have an employment contract, that means you're not necessarily at will with your employer. That would mean that you are kind of governed by this document, and that document may address what you have to do with regard to mandatory vaccinations. Now, there could be unions or some sort of collective bargain agreement, depending on what your job is, and that may address the issue at that point, too. So those are other things that are out there.
Yeah, sometimes a union will lay forth what they will accept and not accept. And hopefully you can work with them and they would encourage their members to go get that for their own health.
Now, just like anything else, there are some exceptions to having the flu shot or the vaccine for COVID-19 once it eventually comes out. And these are anti-discrimination laws. So these mandatory vaccination policies could run afoul of federal and state anti-discrimination laws. You may have some sort of right to an exemption from that policy based on your medical history or your religious beliefs. So there are some exceptions to it. The ADA, or the American Disabilities Act, and there are some similar state laws, they actually have to provide an accommodation if you have a disability that would make a vaccination dangerous. And even if your condition does not qualify as a disability, your employer may allow you to skip the vaccination as long as you can provide a doctor's note explaining the problem. So one example that's kind of common is if you're allergic to eggs and the vaccination is an egg-based vaccine, then that may qualify you for an exemption for it. That'd be kind of a legitimate reason. The religious exception would be if you have some sort of actual religious belief against having a vaccination, then that could be a reason why you might not be forced to get the vaccine if that's what you want to do. Now, there could be some sort of reasonable accommodation that goes along with this. So if you are a person who has some sort of medical condition that can't get the vaccine or alternatively has a religious belief, then that means that you might have to wear a mask or something else to help the spread, which in and of itself could be kind of cumbersome and uncomfortable. So it's kind of one of those catch-22s. You have a religious belief, you don't want to have the vaccine, but because of that, you might have to wear like a full body PPE and walk around basically like you're getting ready for surgery.
Well, or you can just fire the person.
Well, that's true. But that would have to be for, not for cause, but just at will. So.
Yeah. And I guess anybody that just doesn't want to could just say one of those other things. And in this day and age, some doctor would write you a note. And, you say, I belong to the Church of the Latter Day Sleep In, and we don't believe in that. And, what are they going to do?
The Latter Day Sleep In?
Yeah. What are they going to do?
Now, there are some exceptions to the ADA. And actually, from the CDC's website, talks about what's going on with the current pandemic and the situation. But before that, I think there's actually a couple of motions pending before the court today.
Why, yes, the court is rolling in it today. If it pleases your vaccine ship, we'd like to we'd like to approach the bench to pay for court costs.
Rolling in it, you say? Who do we have on the docket today, Tommy?
We have an old friend that's back with us again, Green Chef. You know, we've both enjoyed meals from Green Chef before, and you know how good they are and easy to prepare, so I'm glad to be doing an ad for them again.
I'm very happy to be doing an ad for Green Chef. I love Green Chef. They are a USDA-certified organic company that makes eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle.
Green Chef lets you choose from a wide array of easy-to-follow recipes, perfect for keto, paleo, and plant-based diets, or even if you just want to eat healthier.
Everything is hand-picked, featuring the organic veggies and high-quality proteins you want, delivered to your door contact-free.
Ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped.
And did we mention it's convenient and easy? Green Chef makes staying healthier and on track easier than ever with satisfying home-cooked dinners.
With Green Chef, it's easy to eat well and discover new recipes every week that everyone will enjoy.
Recipes include some pre-chopped ingredients, pre-made sauces, dressings, and spices so you can get more flavor in less time. Now, both you and I have had Green Chef meals in the past, and they are absolutely delicious. They come straight to your door. You open them up, get straight to the directions, and just start cooking away.
Yeah, I mean, most of my cooking revolves around either cereal or sandwiches. So if I can make one of these meals and it looks like a gourmet meal, it must be easy.
Now, maybe if you've listened to some of our episodes in the past, you've heard where we have endorsed HelloFresh before and had an ads for them. And actually, Green Chef is owned by HelloFresh. And so they offer a wide variety of meals to choose from. So there's something for everybody.
So what we'd like you to do is go to greenchef.com/court80 and use the code court80 to get $80 off, including free shipping.
That's a pretty big discount, $80 off. All you got to do is go to greenchef.com/court80 and use the code court80 to get $80 off, including the free shipping.
Why, they're practically giving the food away. Who That's wouldn't right. want to sign up for that? So get your Green Chef today. Now we have our second client that we would like to present to the court. It's BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's quite a busy docket today, Tommy. Are you doing okay there?
I'm doing okay. Just keep them coming, boss. Just keep them coming.
So is there something that's interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals?
Well, COVID-19 and being sequestered and, you know, masks and vaccines and all that.
Besides that, it's a breeze.
Oh, okay.
BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online.
And there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide.
You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room with non-maskers as with traditional therapy.
Non-maskers are a dying breed, literally.
Yes.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available.
BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily at www.betterhelp.com/reviews.
Visit BetterHelp.com/court, that's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
1 million people took charge of their mental health. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
And there is a special offer to Court and Appointed listeners. You get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/court.
That's 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/court. Mike and Tom want you to get better help today.
Hear, hear.
I hear you.
Now, there are some current exceptions to the Americans with Disabilities Act during the current pandemic. The ADA prohibits covered employers from excluding individuals with disabilities from the workplace for health or safety reasons unless they pose a direct threat, which means a significant risk of substantial harm, even with reasonable accommodation. The ADA also requires reasonable accommodations for individuals with disabilities absent undue hardships during a pandemic. So the key terminology there is direct threat. And a direct threat is, and this is a quote, a significant risk of substantial harm to the health or safety of the individual or others that cannot be eliminated or reduced by a reasonable accommodation. If an individual with a disability poses a direct threat despite a reasonable accommodation, he or she is not protected by the non-discrimination provisions of the ADA. So that is one possible exception to any kind of accommodation being made under the ADA for a vaccine or a flu shot.
Well, you might get into ones that kind of conflict with each other. Like, I may be wrong on this, but I'm thinking that immunodeficient individuals cannot, a lot of them can't take the vaccines.
That's right.
Because their body's not going to produce antibodies, and you're basically injecting the disease within them. So if you have somebody that has that, and you got somebody else that says it's either a religious reason or you know, they have maybe asthma or something like that, and they don't want it or something, I don't know. Well, you'd be conflicted because then they could get it and kill the other person.
Yeah, they would be a direct threat.
So who do you protect?
Assessments of whether an employee poses a direct threat in the workplace have to be based on objective, factual information and not just some sort of subjective perception or irrational fears. The EEOC regulations identify four factors to consider when determining whether an employee poses a direct threat. The first is the duration of the risk, two, the nature and severity of the potential harm, three, the likelihood that potential harm will occur, and four, the imminence of potential harm. So the duration.
Your imminence. Your imminence, you have potential harm.
The duration, the severity, the likelihood, and the imminence.
Imminence. That sounds foreboding.
So based on the CDC guidelines and the public health authorities since March, the COVID-19 pandemic meets the direct threat standard. So there is that kind of additional level of scrutiny there for these different kinds of exemptions and reasonable accommodations.
As well there should be.
So when you're looking at what a reasonable accommodation is, it's a change in the work environment that allows the individual with a disability to have an equal opportunity to apply for a job, to perform a job's essential function, or enjoy equal benefits and privileges of employment. An accommodation can be an undue hardship if it results in a significant difficulty or expense for the employer, taking into account the nature and cost of the accommodation, the resources available to the employer, and the operation of the employer's business. If a particular accommodation would result in an undue hardship, an employer is not required to provide it, but still must consider other accommodations that do not pose undue hardship. So I think clearly based on that, anyone in the healthcare industry can very easily require their employees to have not only the flu shot, but also any kind of vaccine that might become available for COVID-19.
Thank God.
Now, the question is, it gets a bit murkier when we're talking about just general employers, such as maybe like a law firm or a data management company or something along those lines, about whether or not you can have your employees or force your employees to do a vaccine. So,
well, I tell you what I would do if I was the boss and I ran a law firm and I had some of my lawyers that said they didn't want to get the vaccine, I'd figure they weren't very smart, and I don't want very smart people being my lawyers, so I'd get rid of them.
Well, that's hard to argue with that logic, Tommy.
It's hard to back it up, too, huh?
You know. I mean, I kind of get where you're coming from, but when you're looking at that, could you make a reasonable accommodation for somebody who doesn't want to get it? So a reasonable accommodation in that circumstance might be, okay, then you're not allowed to come to the office anymore because you didn't get the vaccine. So the accommodation is going to be, we're going to set you up and let you work from home. So you don't come into the office, you work from home.
Yeah, but he's still got to go to courtrooms and other places and talk to people and all that. And what's he going to do then?
Well, I mean, other people, not all lawyers go to courtrooms and are out. I mean, some do transactional work. They might be able to review leases and documents and contracts in the confines of their own home and just stay there and not actually have it.
But then you're restricted. That's like, you know, my guys in the warehouse, I would every once in a while hire one that didn't have a driver's license, and it would always come back and bite me in the butt because then I'd need him to drive a vehicle, and he couldn't drive a vehicle. So I just finally said, look, we're not hiring anybody for the warehouse that doesn't have a driver's license.
What if the person has a disability and they couldn't get a driver's license?
Well, then they're obviously they can't do the work.
You couldn't make any kind of accommodation for them?
No. You got to be able to drive. That's it. Hey, I don't make the rules. That's just the way it is. Job's a job.
So there are different accommodations you have to make for people. It just basically depends on what the hardship's going to be on the employer. Now, like I said, I think obviously in the healthcare field, it's going to be too onerous for a healthcare employer to not have somebody take the vaccine. You can have them wear a mask. You can have them do all kinds of other stuff. But really, they're just putting other people at risk by not getting the vaccine. Now, I think you can probably apply that same logic to in-person employment. And if the person can't do their job remotely, then they may not be able to make an accommodation for that. The employer might not be able to. The EEOC recently made a statement and said, the commission is actively evaluating how a potential vaccine would interact with the employer's obligations under the American with Disabilities Act, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and the other laws the commission enforces. So this is something that's kind of evolving and ongoing, that we're getting into a bit of an area where it's kind of a, I guess, maybe a new area. I mean, you can try to look back on this and say, well, it's kind of similar to flu shots, and it is, but it's not exactly a one-for-one comparison because of the fact that this is a pandemic. Now, if you look back to like maybe the avian flu that was back in 2009, which was not nearly as bad as this, but it was starting to get on those proportions, you might be able to look at that and say, well, you know, we're starting to get there too. So I don't know. I think under the current laws that we have, forcing someone to get a vaccine unless they are in some sort of healthcare industry is going to be a bit of an uphill battle and possibly opening up the employer to some sort of liability.
Well, we've reached a point where we're having 1 million new infections a day and we're climbing, you know, to 300,000 deaths.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these are big numbers we're talking about. These aren't a reported case here or there. It's like, I think it said something like there's one person dying every 7 minutes in the United States or something like that from COVID. Yeah. So, you know, you can't reject that.
Well, no, you can't reject that. But at the same time, we have a certain laws in place that we have to adhere to until something else has passed or something else has changed. You can't really just rely on the emotion of people dying and whatnot to change these things. We have to actually have Congress or lawmakers make these changes because we can't just change the law all willy-nilly based upon this. And I know it's not willy-nilly when there's this much of a pandemic going on, but there has to be some sort of authority which regulates it. It can't just be an application which is not uniform.
Well, I agree. That's the answer right there. Is the government, each state government, should pass a law that the vaccine is mandatory. Now, there is precedent on that. And what's amazing to me is this precedent goes back to 1905 and is still cited. So it's 115 years old, but it's a Supreme Court precedent, Jacobson v. Massachusetts, that stands and still stands today that says, if a state has a law that says, you have to get a vaccine, you have to get a vaccine. So that solves the problem right there. Now, there was at that time, there was 11 states that had no exceptions for that. No religious, no medical, no nothing. If you had to get the vaccine, you had to get the vaccine. And there was a fellow named Jacobson that said that when he was a child, he had a bad reaction to a polio virus. Although, he was perfectly fine, but he said it made horrors in his life because of it. So he assumed it was probably hereditary, and he wouldn't let his son get it either. So when they came out and wanted them to have the vaccine, he wouldn't take it. So at that time, the penalty for the government imposed on you was $5 fine. That was it. But in those days, that was equivalent to like $148. So, you know, I guess that was big money in them days. So
that is big money.
But he didn't want to pay his $5, but he went. How much do you think he paid the lawyer to go all the way to the Supreme Court to hear his case? I bet it was a lot more than $5.
Yeah.
But he went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court shot him down. It was John Marshall was the Chief Justice at the time and shot him down in a 7-2 ruling and said, you must get it. And since then, nothing has overridden that. That still stands since 1905.
Yeah, but the one problem you're going to have with that is if you're looking at a 1905 case, I'm talking about the American with Disabilities Act and the Civil Rights Amendment and things like that. Those were passed after that. So those were laws of Congress which change the landscape about which the Supreme Court would rule on.
Right.
So even though that's good law, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the actual law of the land because there are those exceptions that I just already went through.
Well, you're probably right. It's hard to believe that a 1905 ruling would be the most recent thing that was on it, but we've had these other laws enacted since then, other legislation, and that probably watered down where that would stand. And besides, it was just a $5 fine, and I think that there would have to be a bigger penalty involved than that.
Well, the thing about these old cases that haven't been overturned, you can say, well, it's well-settled law, Judge. It's an old case, but it's an oldie but a goodie.
And hope they stay with that, huh?
Yeah. That's the old, well, this is a 1905 case. Well, it's well settled, Judge, well settled.
But somewhere along the line, someone will have to, rectify the changes together, huh?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's definitely an interesting period to see what's going to happen legally speaking. If you do have something of such dire importance like a pandemic like this, I mean, there may be challenges to things like that to try to make people require them to take the vaccine and things like that. But again, it's along the same lines as like, well, don't you really want to take the vaccine? Wouldn't you like to be immune from this? You know, I mean, it's kind of the same thing with polio and everything that happened in the past. It's like, why would you have to require somebody to do it?
Yeah, I don't want to worry about it. I mean, I want to be able to go to a movie again and eat popcorn and stuff and not have to wear a mask. And I want to be able to go out to eat and not worry about catching a deadly disease. Because even though the restaurants and movies are open right now, I'm not going to those things.
Yeah, it's a dangerous time. And, you know, the thing is, for employers, if they're trying to mandate that somebody has to get a vaccine, it could be a little bit dangerous for them, too. Now, the reason being is that if they require somebody to have a vaccine and something does happen with the vaccine and creates harm to the employee, that could create a workers' compensation claim against the employer and possibly some sort of claim against the vaccine manufacturer and things like that. So, you know, anything that you might, if they have any kind of adverse reaction to it, that could cause an issue. And,
yeah,
you know, I mean, adverse reactions to vaccines are generally pretty rare, but they can occur.
Well, there's that one in a million, you know, occurrence that happens. I don't think there's ever been one they've had that has had absolutely zero, you know, things happen.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is you kind of have to weigh the difference is the benefit of it outweigh the risks, not outrisk the ways.
Yeah.
So the thing about the COVID vaccines is that they actually are being developed in the same way as other vaccines have been. So any kind of risk to them is going to be pretty much minimal. So it is probably a pretty safe thing for employers to want to have their employees do this.
And everything is well scrutinized. It's run by scientists. They have peer reviews, double blind studies and everything else. So, you know, it's not just somebody says, yeah, I think this will work. Shoot it in them and see what happens.
One of the problems I think that we're going to face with regards to the vaccines in general, and this is not really kind of a legal type argument, but it's just more of a current state of the situation we're in right now, is that vaccinations and the pandemic has kind of been turned into a bit of a political issue about people, whether or not they want to believe in the fact that we're having a pandemic and the vaccines and things like that. And so there are going to be people that are probably very entrenched in their situation about whether or not they want to have the vaccine or not. You know, it's going to come down to a kind of a, an argument with their employer. And, you know, an employer might not want to go down that road with somebody.
Well, that's been a problem with this pandemic since day one, is it has become more political than scientific. And I don't understand that, that you don't fight diseases with politics. You fight diseases with science.
Yeah, I agree.
So if you're not going to wear a mask because the Republicans say you don't need it, and or you're not going to take a vaccine because the Democrats say it was founded under Trump's administration, then everybody's, you just got a lot of people that are going to die for no reason.
Then we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
So I think the important thing to take away from this is if you are an employer and you are going to try to make it a requirement that you want to have your employees take a flu shot or you want to have them take a vaccine, is that you try to put some sort of policies and procedures in place and some sort of written type of directive. And I think that's kind of a prudent thing for any employer to have, is to outline what it is in writing, what it is you're going to be doing. And you're not, like, again, just to trying to apply something just like, well, it seems like a good idea. Everybody should get the vaccine. You're going to have to do it today. No, just think it out and basically write it out so you have all these exceptions and everything in place.
Offer a monetary gain. I'll give you $25 if you go get it.
I don't know if you want to do that or not, but it's important to put some sort of policy and procedure in place which outlines their rights under the ADA and different things. And what that would mean is that, you know, you have to have a vaccine or you have to have a flu shot by a certain date. And if you don't do that, then you could be subject to some sort of HR involvement. And if you don't want to do it, then before that date, you need to submit some sort of form to HR saying that why there is a religious exception or why there is some sort of disability or why there's a medical exception that you can't do it. And then let HR make a determination about whether or not it's the Church of Later Day Waking or whatever.
Church of the Later Day Sleep In.
Later Day Sleep In. If they're the ones that are stating, well, no, you know, this person can't have this or for whatever reason, they make an actual determination about whether or not it is a good faith reason why you can't take the vaccine or the flu shot, and have forms that are readily available to your employees as well. So make sure everything's on the up and up and they know what their rights are and they know that they have the ability to choose to not do this if they have one of these different kinds of exceptions that are going on. And again, if they do, that doesn't mean that, you know, they're able to be fired. That means that probably you have to make some sort of reasonable accommodation to them so they can still be employed there. And if they don't like the reasonable accommodation or it forms some sort of undue hardship on the employer, then it might be time to separate employment from each other.
Voluntarily or involuntarily, huh?
Yeah. I mean, if you try to make an accommodation and it's just not going to work and it's going to be an undue hardship, then, you know, I think an employer has to take a hard look at that about whether or not they can continue to employ the employee.
I'd say it's an undue hardship because I don't want to see you die, son.
Yeah.
You mean a lot to me, and I don't want you to die here. So if you're going to die, go home so I don't have to look at you.
Well, I mean, you know, we all work for a living, correct?
Well, yeah, except for rich ones.
And a wise man once said, dying ain't much of a living. So
that's right. Dying ain't much of a living, boy.
To quote Josie Wales once again.
Oh, I love quoting Josie Wales.
So I think that once we do get a vaccine that's been approved and starts being disseminated to the general public, that we are going to see this crop up where there is going to be employers that are going to require their employees to have it. And it's going to be outside the healthcare field as well, because employers don't want their employees to miss time from this. They don't want to expose their other employees that are getting the vaccine or not getting the vaccine for some reason they can't, if they do have some sort of immune issue. They don't want to expose them to it. So, you know.
If you run any kind of business that deals with the public, you're going to want your employees to be vaccinated 100%. So that they can't give it and they can't get it.
100%. So, well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So I'm hoping the vaccine comes out soon, though.
But you're right. It'll be an argument. It shouldn't be, but it will be.
Yeah. Well, that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where I ask Tommy different legal questions. And I got a couple employment-related legal questions for him today.
Uh-oh.
What is at-will employment?
At-will employment means basically you can fire the guy for anything except discrimination. But if he's just not living up to doing the job you want, you can just tell him he's fired. You don't really have to have a good reason.
That's true. You can dismiss an employee for any reason that doesn't have to do with any kind of discrimination. So as long as it's not race, religion, sexuality, something along those, employees are known that they are hired at will and that they can be fired for any reason whenever they are hired. Now, if you have an employment contract or something like that, then that's not necessarily at will employment. That's something different.
Right.
And this practice has kind of become very, very popular in the United States. It didn't used to be the way things were, but in this day and age, almost all states are at will employment in some form or another. It just depends on which extra protections that the few states have. But most of the time, states are just simply at will employment. So the next question is, what is the ADA?
American Disabilities Act. And it requires that you make a reasonable accommodation for employees that have some type of disability, as opposed to just saying, sorry, if you can't use the steps, you're on your own.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it applies in a lot of different situations. It has a lot to do with buildings, like you were saying. If you have a building and you don't have like an elevator or a ramp for somebody to get in, that somebody can't use the steps if they have a disability, then that would violate the American with Disabilities Act. But in the context we were talking about today, it has to do with whether or not someone has some sort of disability, which does not allow them to get the flu shot or would not allow them to get the vaccine, about whether or not an employer can force them to do it. And again, it's going to be one of those things that's going to be determined if it's going to be an undue hardship. If the employer can't make it a reasonable accommodation, then the ADA might not apply in that situation. They might not be able to keep the job or whatever. So, but I think it's going to be one of those things that's going to be pretty interesting coming along.
Or it may not be a good enough excuse.
That's true.
Not all disabilities are the same.
Well, if you have peanut allergy we make our vaccine with peanuts. Can't do it.
Well, I think that the two that are going for approval right now are both synthetic things. They're not made, not eggs or anything like that.
Yeah.
They're synthetic. It's a new technology that's not been used for this type of thing before.
Well, I do think that I'm just speaking off the top of my head here, that the whole vaccines, whatnot, made with eggs, and that's kind of something that's not even really done anymore. I think most things are synthetic now, aren't they?
Well, those two are, but now the one that I'm involved in, the trial, they are doing the vaccine the way all the old established vaccines have been made, from actually a part of the virus itself, not a synthetic thing that resembles a virus.
Hmm.
So this one may be from eggs. I'm not sure. I didn't get that kind of information, but it did say that it's being developed the same way that all our traditional vaccines that you know of have been developed.
A little bit of eggs and a little bit of smoked Gruyere in there just to give a little smoky flavor.
That's right. Hope they put a beer in there.
Well, I think that's going to do it. I think that we had an announcement, though, coming up about Christmas time, right?
That's right. We're going to have our episode on the 21st, well, the week of the 21st. So we've got this comes out the week of the 7th. The week of the 14th, we've already got one lined up for that. But the week of the 21st will be our Christmas one. And it will feature.
Ho, ho, ho.
That's right. Who you calling a hoe? And it will feature Christmas Vacation, the movie, because that's our favorite Christmas movie. We watch it every year.
Love that movie.
Memorize all the lines.
There's quite a resemblance between you and Chevy Chase in that movie.
I've been called Clark Griswold several times in my life.
I remember actually going to see that in the theaters with you when it first came out.
Yeah, that was a great movie then. It still is. It still holds up now.
I remember seeing the movie theater about peeing my pants whenever he was going down the hill on that sled. I seriously almost peed my pants laughing so hard.
But what we want to do is if you choose to, engage in this is a little bit of homework if you want to do it, is watch the movie and see how many felonies, torts, misdemeanors you can find along the way, or just a total number. You don't have to break them down. But in other words, there are a lot of crimes and things that take place that nobody ever answers for.
That's true.
See if we're going to, Mike and I are going to watch it and come up with a number and see how many people you can play along at home and see if you can match that number of the number of crimes and torts. So they don't all have to be like things you'd be arrested. They could be things you'd get sued for or have to, you know, be accountable for.
That's right. Anything that might involve the law.
That's right.
So
we thought that might be a fun one for Christmas. So that's not, like I say, it's not the week of the, it's the week of the 21st.
Yeah.
No reason to tell you the weeks it's not of. It's tell you the one it is of.
It's not the week of the 7th. It's not the week of the 14th. So, yeah. But if you want to watch it before then, go ahead. Watch it many times. I'm sure I'll watch it once or twice.
Yeah, I know. We always catch it on there. So we think that'll be a fun one, though.
That's right. So that's something to look forward to. And Tommy, I hope your vaccine works out well for you.
Me too. I've got another week and a half before I go back to get the booster saline.
The booster saline?
Yeah. Because they got to keep giving it to me like it's a real thing. I mean, I don't know what I have. I'm just guessing. Everybody else had symptoms. I didn't have any kind of symptoms. So I don't know. But I've always been fairly illness resistant. So I don't know.
Well, maybe you did get it. Maybe you're the one that got it.
It could be. I don't know. I mean, I've worn out all my body parts, but when it comes to illness, I've always been fairly healthy.
Yeah, you're more a machine than man these days.
That's true. So maybe that's why it didn't register with me. I mean, you didn't see Arnold Schwarzenegger ever get sick, did you, when he was on Terminator?
No, you didn't.
He just kept going. Even when they burn all his skin off and he was just the metal robot underneath, he still kept going.
That's right. And like Arnold Schwarzenegger, we'll be back next week.
That was good.
Thanks. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Bim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine offerings.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out, though, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Hello, welcome to Tommy's Random Thought. Today's Random Thought is COVID deniers. I have to say that I am completely baffled by the reaction that the people of this country are having to a life-threatening disease. If COVID-19 hadn't happened yet and someone warned the American public that a deadly virus was unleashed in our country, it will infect 1 million people a day and kill about 1 out of every 10 people that get it. To avoid it, you need to wear a mask anytime you are around anyone but those that live in the home with you and avoid all gatherings, especially indoors. Now, you could say, I feel pretty lucky and healthy, so I'll probably take my chances of being one of those 9 that don't really suffer any bad effects. But now, include the thought that even if it doesn't affect you adversely if you get it, you could infect a relative that does become one of those 1 out of 10. Does that change the way you think about it? Maybe you don't really like your family, so you don't care if one of them falls victim to this virus. You know, one less present to buy at Christmas, right? But how about drinking buddies or girlfriends or boyfriends? Surely you don't want to infect them too, do you? Or maybe you just don't give a damn about anyone but yourself. As long as you're okay, the hell with everybody else. While some people try to comply with guidelines like wearing masks and not participating in gatherings, a lot of others are thumbing their nose at these things. These rules only apply to others, not me. My school won't have a dance because, you know, the virus stuff. But my rich parents have the money for us to have our own dance, so we can still have it because we don't like to be inconvenienced. Inconvenienced? You mean like those families that sat down to Thanksgiving with an empty chair? Or those that will sit down at Christmas dinner with someone gone?
Is that the inconvenience that you're talking about? I was in a Sheetz the other day, and only about 3 out of 15 customers in the store were wearing masks. A couple greeted each other and stood there face-to-face talking to each other, just like they had good sense or something. Mind you, there were 2 signs on every door into the store that said, "You must wear a mask." Notice the word must. You can't expect minimum wage employees to face a confrontation to ask people to put them on. The employees were all wearing masks, and the lady that waited on me said they would offer a mask to anyone not wearing one. She said most people would say no, and some would say sure, and take the mask, and then just carry it and walk out with it. Apparently, maybe there was someone somewhere that was worth not killing, so they were saving it for them to put it on. But it was obvious they could care less about the other customers or the other employees. Let's face it, with so many others not wearing masks in there, I felt like they all were going to get what they deserved anyway. All of this is to ask why. Why are there so many that don't care? Why do so many not believe that we are in the midst of a pandemic? Why do so many believe that dumbass they went to high school with that is not concerned, and they don't believe the scientists that are trying to help us and minimize the severity? If you go back to my first statement, I think you will find the answer. If COVID-19 hadn't happened yet, and someone warned the American public that a deadly virus was unleashed in our country, it will infect 1 million people a day and kill about 1 out of every 10 that get it. To avoid it, you need to wear a mask anytime you're around anyone but those that live in the home with you, and avoid all gatherings, especially indoors. Period. No exceptions. Just do it. Period. This wasn't the message we got. We were told to keep doing what we were doing. It will go away. It's not that bad. The sun and the warm weather will kill it. Only Democrats wear masks as a political statement because they hate the president. The virus is under control. Trump said he deliberately downplayed it to keep people from panicking. Maybe what we really needed was a consistent message that instilled enough fear in all of us to encourage good decision-making instead of politics. Wearing a mask is not a political statement. It is saying that I respect the lives of my fellow humans, regardless of political affiliation. Sometimes fear is good. This has been Tommy's Random Thought.